Welcome to The Advertising Show, America's only radio program focusing on advertising, media, marketing, product development, branding, new media, sales and customer relations. Stay with us for entertaining marketing discussion and our special guest interview. Now, here are your hosts, Ray Schillens and Brad Forsythe.
This is The Advertising Show. That's right. You found it once again here. Brought to you by Advertising Age Magazine. Visit online at adage.com. And by Captivate Network, you can visit them at captivate.com. The Advertising Show with Ray Schillens and Brad Forsythe is a Big Radio Midgets production. As promised, we've got another great show for you today. Michael Port's with us out of Philadelphia, called a marketing guru by the Wall Street Journal. He's provided coaching and consulting services to over 20,000 business owners. He's a busy guy. As an expert, he has been interviewed on television networks like CNBC, MSNBC, and for numerous newspapers and magazines. As a speaker, he's headlined events with leaders like Jim Collins, Seth Godin, and Tom Peters. And what we're talking about today is a book. He's an author, a co-author, actually. And it's called The Contrarian Effect, Why It Pays Big to Take Typical Sales Advice and Do the Opposite. By the way, that book was selected by the editorial board of Amazon.com as the number 9 best business book of 2008. Say that fast 3 times. So, Michael on the way. And just a few moments away from Shamin Abbas. Out of New York, the 10-second pitch is what she talks about today. And Jean Bliss, a little bit later on this hour, the customer experience. And she has customer captivity. So that's what the show's all about today. Glad you joined us here, too, as we wrap up 2008. We're almost there.
Yeah.
Into 09, into who knows what. We know we're in a depression. That's about it, right?
They came out recently, a few weeks ago, and said that we are officially in a recession.
Right.
We needed the official.
As if we didn't know that already.
Well, right? I'll tell you this. It's real easy to get a reservation nowadays in your finer hotels and restaurants. And, anyway, we're looking for a better, an 09, and we're looking for our savior, Barack, to pull us, him and his staff.
Our savior?
We're putting a lot of pressure on him to pull us out of this mess in 09. So we'll see how that goes. You know, Ray, this is just out. Comcast, it's not just out, but it's interesting, is in the middle of a 6-month limited trial of a targeted ad system with 70,000 digital cable households in the Baltimore area. The cable operators notify customers of the test and will allow subscribers to opt out by allowed customers to opt out by mail, telephone, or using the web. But yet Comcast will run, which I think is interesting, addressable ads on 8 cable networks in the Baltimore area. The ads covered in the test will represent 2% of the total ad airtime. So, they're giving them an opportunity to participate. And what will happen as a result is the cable viewers will be seeing more relevant TV ads. The operator won't disclose which cable networks the ads will be running on, nor will it identify the advertisers to, as they say, help preserve the integrity of the trial data.
I see.
So those that are, it's kind of like a placebo or a non-placebo group, control group, who's taking the real drug here? Anyway, it should be interesting to see how that works out. I would expect good results from getting ads that you actually are interested in, as we talked about a few shows ago.
I have no problem with that. I think it's a great idea.
Yeah.
We've got Shamin Abbas here. It is the 10-second pitch, so why does it take a couple of minutes? I don't know.
And now it's time for Activist for Excellence, PR, publicity, and crisis management instruction for today's marketing professional. Now, here's your host, the uncompromising Shamin Abbas.
Now, it's been well documented that consumers' attention span is facing attrition at a steady rate. Short attention spans aren't just for web heads and TV watchers. Reporters faced with an increasing onslaught of information have to separate the news from the spam or face being completely overwhelmed. Since reporters receive hundreds, sometimes even thousands of email pitches a day, you have to grab them quickly, deliver the goods, and prompt a reaction with the minimum of fanfare. We often use what we call the 10-second pitch, and we call it that even in the subject line of the email. In our experience, that is a real attention getter. It forces us to be very concise, to hone in on the real purpose of contacting them, and wait until we have the reporter's undivided attention to add all the background and other information we always feel must be included in a thorough press release. The 10-second pitch is a paragraph or two at the most, and a bare-bones boilerplate about your client's business for reference. We try to keep ours to about 250 words or less. We know that if we have a compelling angle, that we'll have plenty of opportunity later to send the media fact sheets, background, and whatever else they may need. We approach the style of pitching as a way to guarantee interest and generate reporter goodwill for not wasting much of their time. It flies in the face of our need as publicists to make sure we've told our client's story thoroughly. But we know that you'll find at least some of the media you regularly pitch will actually reply with a thank you for keeping it short.
You've been listening to Activist for Excellence, PR, publicity, and crisis management instruction for today's marketing professional with host Shamin Abbas. Shamin is president and founder of Shamin Abbas Public Relations, a full-service agency providing local, regional, national, and international media relations, special event production, and inventive promotion, with offices in New York City and West Palm Beach. To learn more, visit ShaminAbbasPR.com. That's ShaminAbbasPR.com.
The Advertising Show with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth. And thank you so much, Shamin Abbas here, always a part of the show. And a little bit later on this hour, Jean Bliss, our customer experience with customer captivity, is what she has for us. So That'll be fun. Axl Rose, this was in the news, a couple of weeks ago. Axl Rose wants Dr. Pepper to apologize for a giveaway stunt. Did you hear about this?
I did, but I can't remember the details.
He says the marketer bungled the free cola offer and violated the rocker's rights. And, you know, it's just a good example. If you're going to pull off a promotion, probably ought to think it all the way through before you do it.
Yeah.
Axl Rose, the kept of Guns N' Roses fans waiting 17 years for Chinese democracy, didn't seem to bother the Corn Road rocker all that much. But when Dr. Pepper was unable to deliver a free can of soda to everyone in the country upon the album's release, that was more than he and his lawyers could stand. The singer's lawyer pounced on the soft drink marketer, claiming it failed to deliver on its promise to give out the free sodas, turning what began as a great PR stunt into a public relations mess for Dr. Pepper. So what he's suggesting is you better fix this, because if you're going to do something and you're going to make a promise to these people, you got to do it and you got to fulfill.
It's a reflection on him, it sounds like, too.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, it is.
You're right.
You know, because you got. And did you hear there's a radio station? This goes back about a week or so ago as well. They had a free date with a guy. You could win a free date with this guy. The radio station chose the guy. Turns out he was a convicted felon. He went ahead and this is sad. He actually allegedly assaulted the lady.
And she's suing the radio station.
Yes, yeah. And they're suggesting, well, no, it's not the radio station's fault. It's like, well, yeah, it is.
Yeah.
I mean, why wouldn't it be the
radio
station's
fault? It was the facilitator that got the two together.
Exactly.
Right.
So whenever you do a promotion, whether you're giving away cans of cola or a free date with a weirdo, probably ought to check with your lawyers before you do anything like
that.
And,
you know, speaking of convicted criminals, that is such the nice-looking ankle bracelet that you're wearing today. And I see it's decorated in a holiday spirit. That's
red
very
and
nice.
Green. Thank you very much. I appreciate
very nice.
It going on.
Uh-oh. Maybe you can come out tomorrow.
If they'll let me. We've got more of the Advertising Show with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth coming up next. So stay with us.
Here comes another typical commercial. I could get your attention by blowing a foghorn. Or maybe an awesome scream. But even that doesn't cut through the clutter enough to really captivate your attention. If you're an advertiser and you really want your message to be heard, then reach for the golden nugget of advertising. It's what's called a captive audience. One company delivers this much sought-after captive audience. And believe it or not, it's just the people you want to reach, business professionals and decision makers. It all happens in 23 of North America's largest and most progressive markets. And the captive audience is right there in the elevators of select premier office towers. Over 8,000 high-quality video screens get people's attention with what research proves they want, news and information. It's all combined with your branded message in a way that only this captive audience sees and absorbs. Cut the waste in your advertising budget by reaching just who you want to reach. Don't just advertise. Captivate your audience. To find out more, click on Captivate.com.
Make your advertising dollars work smarter. You're listening to The Advertising Show with Ray Schillings and Brad Forsyth.
Today's your group day. Today you've got a running start. You're a man who feels the part.
And as promised on the Advertising Show with Ray Schillings and Brad Forsyth, our very special guest out of Philadelphia. I'm going to say Philadelphia. He's actually north of Philadelphia, okay? Michael Port, the author of The Contrarian Effect. Michael, so good to have you here. Welcome to the Advertising Show.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, you know, Michael, it's been said that if you're in business, you're in the sales business in one way or another. So give us a sense of who should be reading your book, The Contrarian Effect.
Everybody.
Yeah.
I don't even care if you don't have a job. If you don't work, you should be reading the book. Because everybody is in sales in one way, shape, or form.
So I'm curious, how did you come up with the idea for the book?
Well, I was never comfortable with the typical sales tactics. You know, what I call the big-chested trainer. Not in the way you would think, but, you know, the guy who sort of walks around on stage, is all pumped up, is like, you got to make more, phone calls. It's 4 o'clock and you're not dialing and smiling. It's 5 o'clock and you're still, you know, that kind of thing. That
right.
made me very, very uncomfortable. And I just didn't like it. So I thought, you know, there's got to be another way. So I just tried literally the opposite of almost every typical tactic that I heard. And you know what? It worked a lot better for me.
You know, when did traditional sales techniques go from working to not working? I mean, you know, anybody that's been in business for a while is almost embarrassingly been pitched by a person new to a particular industry. And the, Mr. Schillings, did you want the blue one or the red one? Can we meet Tuesday or Thursday?
It started actually in a totally different age, in around 1886 is when the typical sales tactics were invented, so to speak. And they were actually invented for the NCR Primer, which was the sales training manual for NCR, which was the cash register company.
Sure.
And interestingly enough, it worked pretty well. You know, they were, out of 84 companies that started in 1864, about 10 years later, they were one of only three. A few years later, they were totally shut down because John Patterson, who was the founder, was convicted of violating antitrust laws. So, interestingly enough, most of the typical tactics that we use actually came from a criminal.
A criminal.
Well, that's...
I'm just saying, look, if you want to, follow, the advice of a convict, that's fine. But I just think in this day and age, maybe you want to take a different approach. And look, even if that's not, you don't care about that. You're like, whatever works. I don't care where it comes from. The problem is that they work a little bit, but not as well as they could, in part because we live in a different age.
Yeah.
In 1886, the world was very different. I mean, we live in the age of the firewall and the do not call. We live in the age of options and mass customization. We live in the age of independence and the age of personal publishing and in the age of scandal. And, you were just talking earlier about, this mess up, this Dr. Pepper public relations fiasco. Well, look how fast that spreads. In the snap of a finger, one little mistake by one person inside the organization is now all over the network news.
Sure. 1886 also saw the first two used car salesmen, so that's where that comes from, too.
Exactly.
Right.
So, if you look at some of these typical tactics and you measure them up against, the age that we live in, if you take, say, cold calling and numbers game, okay, probably the most typical tactic out there. Well, we live in the age of the firewall and do not call. They are not in sync. Sales scripts are not in sync with mass customization. Or the age of options. I can do anything I want, buy anything I want, wherever I want, almost 24 hours a day. You think your sales scripts are going to get me to buy?
You know, it seems real obvious as you hear that, because I think all of us that, are connected to the internet or, live and work in a much more sophisticated environment, as we all do, you would think that a large percentage of today's sales community, if you will, would be buying into what you're promoting here, but yet so many still use traditional sales tactics. Isn't that correct?
Yeah, it's true. And I think in part because we're used to doing what we've done in the past, and also because it seems easier to measure. I mean, take cold calling and then the numbers game, for example. You know, a manager, a mid-level manager who's trying to demonstrate what his team is doing can say, well, you know, Bob made 100 calls today, Sally made 109 calls today. You can count the number of calls somebody makes. And so then you can make up this, you know, this success, you know, ratio and say, well, she made 109 calls and she got 4 sales. Well, Bob made 80 calls and he only got, you know, 1 sale or not even 1. So Bob, he's just got to make more calls. And so, you know, I think it's easier to measure than a lot of the sales tactics that are much more appropriate for the age in which we live.
So in a lot of cases, they're looking to for validation of worn-out, unsophisticated, ineffective sales tactics, and they find validation if they look hard enough, huh?
Exactly. For example, it's one of the reasons that that many salespeople assume that closing tactics work so well. Because when you're trying to do the autopsy of a sale, when you know, you look back and go, man, that was great. I nailed it. I just made this big sale. Now, what was it that I did? Oh, yeah, I used the banana split close. That must have been it. Meanwhile, that thing almost cost you the sale, and the guy's like, all right, I'll overlook it. He really wanted to make the sale. I'm going to get it anyway. But you attribute, that particular action or that tactic that you used to why it worked, and it may be totally irrelevant. You may have, you know, misinformation.
The banana split close. Maybe we can find more about that. I doubt that that's actually real, though, here. Michael Port is our guest here at the Advertising Show. The book is called The Contrarian Effect, and it's Ray Schulins and Brad Forsyth here at theadvertisingshow.com, being powered by Schipul.com. It's S-C-H-I-P-U-L.com. And a program called Tendency, which is a killer for marketing on the web. Check it out at Schipul.com. Back in just a minute with more.
Why do more media professionals read IWantMedia.com? IWantMedia.com features reports from industry leaders and media personalities. IWantMedia.com gives you quick access to news, stats, trade orgs, and industry publications, and it's updated daily. Forbes says IWantMedia.com contains everything media professionals need to stay ahead of the game. The Washington Post calls it the source for the serious media geek. Do you get it? If you don't, you should. To sign up for free daily email alerts, visit IWantMedia.com.
Make informed decisions about your company's advertising strategy. This is The Advertising Show.
It's a real thing in the back of your mind. What you're hoping to find.
His book is called The Contrarian Effect, and it's Michael Port out of north of Philadelphia here this weekend with Ray Schulins and Brad Forsyth on The Advertising Show. Michael, welcome back.
Thanks so much.
Yeah, and by the way, a great book published by Wiley. I encourage all of our listeners to check it out, and I assume we can find out more information about Michael Port at
michaelport.com.
Yes. And in your book early on, you describe major signs that point to market shifts that will indicate how customers want you, the salesperson, to interact with them. And why don't you take us through the high points here? Because I found this very interesting.
Sure. To sort of battle this this NCR primer that I mentioned in the beginning, which is in part the culprit that we need to get away from, we created the contrarian primer. And, you know, I think there are 7 tactics that you can use which will effectively make you a contrarian. You'll simply do the opposite of what most everybody else is doing, and you'll probably do a lot better. For example, we talked about closing. Always be closing. You've heard this a million times. And I suggest, instead of always be closing, especially if you're selling to sophisticated people and not selling like a pack of gum, if you're selling anything of high value, always be opening. This is what Home Depot does. This is what Apple does. Apple, if you ever gone into an Apple store, you have to wait in line sometimes just to get in to hang out and buy stuff.
Right.
It's truly remarkable. They've created this environment where you come to hang out. And it is a cool place to be with a bunch of people who are like you, share the same interests. So they're always open. For example, I do this. I mean, if you go to michaelport.com, you can see I have a whole bunch of different things that are free, which I, you know, call my always have something to invite people to offer. So instead of selling when I go places, I'm always inviting people to these things. I do something called the Think Big Revolution. Every week I do a call, free, thousands of people come. I bring different topics that will help you think big about who you are, what you offer the world. I have a whole booked solid network that people can get into and hang out and connect with others. So these are the kinds of things that very interesting and successful companies are doing. Softrax, a software company, something like went from, I think they were doing 7 million in sales, and they went to like 29 million in sales because they stopped doing cold calling, and instead they started offering value-rich webinars for their current customers and all of their customers' colleagues for the network of their customers. They brought different experts around the different topics their customers were interested in, and they stopped just, you know, dialing the phone to random people that maybe would want their product. Instead, they really focused on the people that you're serving. Hmm. So always be opening.
That's interesting. You brought up the Home Depot analogy as well. You're talking about free seminars, how-to workshops, and things like that. Huh?
Yeah. And they do very, very well with that. Hmm. They really serve their core customer. And I think it makes a big difference. And also, look, everybody's making such a, you know, a big to-do about the economy. Certainly, we have some very serious credit issues. You know, there's probably some more credit issues coming to bear in the commercial market. And it's going to be a long, protracted situation. But enough with the hype already. I mean, we've been through this before. You know, we had this in the 1800s. We had this in the early 1900s. And it's really not that bad. So we've got to get out of that mindset.
Mm-hmm.
But important is not to try to push harder to make sales now. Instead, see how you can become a place where your customers want to gather so they stay in groups and those groups build. And then certainly you're going to be selling through those environments. But over time, especially when we start to move out of this, this, you know, recession or depression, then you're going to be even better positioned to sell more because you're showing up in a way now that is adding value rather than just trying to sell.
And you say that customers decide when it's time to buy, not you. And I think a lot of salespeople would have a tough time with that. They think that they really need to close and to
down,
pressure
yeah.
the customer. But you say the opposite.
One of the things that salespeople often miss is developing a real true sales cycle that starts with no barrier for entry offers all the way up to the highest value offer with lots of different things that customers can engage in with very little risk at the time that is appropriate for that customer. People buy based on their values, what they value, and they buy situationally. So no matter how much you want someone to buy a new kitchen,
mm-hmm.
if they just got a new kitchen, it ain't going to happen. Just like if you're a mortgage broker, you want someone to buy a mortgage. If they just took a mortgage for a new house, they're not getting a new mortgage. And so how do you create the opportunity to continue to build a relationship with that person over time so even if it's in a year or two, they come and buy that mortgage from you? So developing a real sales cycle that builds trust over time rather than try to do what is a typical tactic of speed selling, you're in the long run going to be much more successful, especially when you get into these, you know, these economic downturns or market shifts, you know, in your particular market segment. You're going to be much better positioned because people are going to see you as somebody who creates events for them, creates opportunities for them, does far more for them than just showing up and trying to sell a product.
Engage continually and be top of mind always is what you're saying too as well, Michael. Ray Schulman's Brad Forsyth here with Michael Port, author of The Contrarian Effect on The Advertising Show. We've got more with Michael. We hope you stick around.
How can 18 different companies all sell the exact same thing known as water? It starts here in Advertising Age, the leading source for marketing, advertising, media, and ideas. For almost 75 years, we've covered the most thought-provoking, groundbreaking stories in the industry, giving you the competitive edge to be a leader. Your job demands you not only have good ideas, but great ideas. And those great ideas have to start somewhere. And that somewhere is in the pages of Advertising Age, and also online at adage.com. How can you get someone's attention if you don't have $10 million in a celebrity endorsement? It starts here in Advertising Age, the leading source for marketing, advertising, media, and ideas. For almost 75 years, we've covered the most innovative and groundbreaking stories in the industry, giving you the competitive edge to be a leader. The next big idea demands out-of-the-box thinking. Start your search for greatness in the pages of Advertising Age and also online at adage.com.
Simplifying the complex world of advertising. To reach Ray and Brad with your questions, log on to theadvertisingshow.com. This is The Advertising Show.
Michael Port is our special guest this weekend on The Advertising Show with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth. And it's good that you're here, too. We appreciate that. Michael has a book called The Contrarian Effect, and that's what we're talking about today, amongst other things. Michael, welcome back.
Thanks so much.
Yeah, you describe in your book, Michael, how important it is when developing a customer relationship long before the sale to share your intangibles as a key strategy of part of the sales cycle. Explain what you mean by this.
Yeah, this actually isn't really my idea. I stole it from my friend Tim Sanders, who wrote a great book called Love is the Killer App. And, you know, his theory was that, you know, the next killer app in business is love, not, you know, some piece of software.
Mm-hmm.
And that makes a lot of guys uncomfortable, right? But it's not in a weird way. It's just that if you share your intangibles, right, your intangibles are your network, your knowledge, and your compassion. If you share your intangibles without expecting anything in return on a daily basis as a marketing strategy, and now Tim's not necessarily suggesting you do it as a marketing strategy, I am. You, as a marketing strategy, you are going to be seen as what Tim calls a love cat. A love cat.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, look, there is absolute significant data on the fact that when people buy high-value items from sales people, especially if they're going to have a continued relationship with that salesperson, then they really need to like that person. And this goes far beyond the, you know, they need to know, like, and trust you. That old expression, that, you know, pat expression, is worn out. This intangibles idea is much more significant. Each day, let me give you three things to do.
Mm-hmm.
To share your network, introduce two people each day in your network who do not yet know each other. This is not a referral. This is just an introduction based on a shared interest. It could be golf, right? It could be something in business, but something that you think will bring them together. You don't ask anything in return. You send a quick email, follow up with a card a couple weeks later, done. But you do it once a day, 5 days a week. That's 10 people a week. That's 40 people a month. That is 480 people a year that you're introducing. You think you're going to build your center of influence as a salesperson doing that? Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, share your knowledge. Every single day you find something in the paper, you do it online because it's the best way. You can just send shoot quick emails. Either something in the paper, something you've read, something from a magazine, share it with somebody or a few people in your network based around something that you think is relevant to them every day. And number three, each day find a way to share your compassion. This is something that we suggest you wake up and do first thing in the morning. You write a card to somebody in your network just sharing your compassion, something about, you know, that you appreciate that they did, that you were thinking about them, that you hope they're feeling better. Last time you knew that they were having some problems, health problems, whatever it is. But share your compassion each day. Don't expect anything in return. You do this each day. Take you about a total 15 minutes. This is how you start your day, and you become a total love cat in your networking, and you build your sphere of influence. You're seen as someone who's very knowledgeable, thoughtful, well-read, and someone who's very compassionate. That is somebody who is going to do well in sales.
And, you know, I would think the key point on sharing your compassion, that you got to make sure that it's authentic, because, and I think all three of those are very
agreed,
good points.
Yeah.
But there might be a tendency for someone to maybe reach a little too much, and I think that ends up being really obvious on the receiving end when it's not authentic,
well,
right?
The first two keys of likability are friendliness and realness, because if you're friendly and you're not real, then you're from L.A.,
Yeah.
I have a problem with a lot of these CRM programs as well, based on what we're talking about here today, is that I don't like to send out just a bulk email that looks a pseudo type of thing. It's got to be real. I think
and this is individual and personalized.
Yeah.
There's actually a big, significant story in The Contrarian Effect about an experience I had with the biggest CRM company in the country about how they would not stop spamming me, would not stop hounding me, and eventually got to the guy where the salesman on the phone said, look, can you just help me out here? I got to make my numbers.
Oh,
I got my boss on my back. I said, excuse me? You want me to buy because you got
yeah,
a number?
That's
so
your point.
This is the biggest CRM company in the country was doing this.
Hmm.
I'm going to find out who this is. When we're off the air with this thing too. I'm curious about that.
Hey, Michael, one most important thing you'd want our readers to take away from your book, and it's jam-packed with great advice, but just the one takeaway.
I think the number one takeaway is just always be thoughtful when you feel like you're following the pack. If you're doing something that everybody else is doing, question why. Ask why at least 5 times. And if you don't feel comfortable using any particular strategy, don't use it. Make up your own.
Great advice, Michael.
And Michael, continued success and with this book and much of the other endeavors that you're involved with. And happy holidays to you, too. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks so much for having me, guys.
On the Advertising Show, Ray Shulman's Brad Forsyth back in just a minute with more.
There is somewhere better to get inspired creative ideas. This is where it's at. OpenAd.net, the first online platform for advertisers, changing the way that ideas are created and traded. Access nearly 11,000 creative minds representing 125 countries around the world. Waiting online to have a go at your brief. Imagine the impact such range and diversity of talent can have on your next advertising campaign. All creative work is IP cleared before you get it. We take care of all the details while you get brilliant ideas in a fraction of the time, at a lower cost, and with a lot less fuss. No endless meetings, no away days. When a client needed a new corporate identity ASAP and on a tight budget, they got the impossible. 170 creative solutions to the client in just 24 hours, from brief to deadline. OpenAd.net, busting down the walls of the ad industry. Put it to the test. Just go to OpenAd.net and give us a try. Hey, what have you got to lose? The future starts here.
You're listening to The Advertising Show with Ray Shillins and Brad Forsyth.
Hey, how about a nice Hawaiian punch?
Sure.
You taste 7 kinds of fruit in Hawaii.
Thanks again to our special guest today, Michael Port, who is author of The Contrarian Effect here at The Advertising Show. A little less conversation we'll have next week. That's the book.
Oh, it is?
Yes. I'll wait to hear the pronunciation of the gentleman's name that we have.
We're going to say Tom Asacker.
Asacker. Okay.
Just for the heck of it.
Okay. And if we're wrong, we apologize, Tom.
We'll
but anyway,
that
next week.
Week.
That is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
By the way, michaelport.com is the website you can go to. Brad, this is from Ad Age. Nat Ives is the guy who wrote this.
Mm-hmm.
Newspaper ad revenues fall nearly $2 billion. Oh, I'm surprised.
Mm.
Gee, wonder why that. Newspaper ad revenue fell almost $2 billion in the third quarter for a record 18.1% decline, according to new stats from Newspaper Association of America. What's worse, newspapers' online ad revenue, they're trying to get that, fell for the second quarter in a row.
Right.
Which means that people are taking advantage of other resources to do that.
Sandwich boards.
Yes. That too, blimps. The historic drop resulted from a worsening economy that sharply exacerbated long-term challenges already confronting the newspaper industry. We knew that. It affected all kinds of newspaper ads, national ad sales, 18.4, classifieds, 30.9 down. The biggest category, retail, slid 11.7. Newspapers online, ad sales, where everybody is hoping some part of the future is, accelerated their decline with a 3% drop. Overall ad sales slipped 2.4% in the second quarter. There are some things and some issues to discuss and address with the newspaper industry.
Mm-hmm.
Times are changing, aren't they?
Right, ever since the Flintstones and those
cement
tablets.
We have Gene Bliss here.
Rock tablets.
That's the Ten Commandments.
Yeah.
Customer captivity is our talk today with Gene Bliss.
Welcome to the customer experience, making customers your true priority for a profitable outcome. With your host, author, speaker, consultant, and customer crusader, Gene Bliss.
We hold customers captive, take away perks, and charge for things like never before. So how can it be we're so surprised they're walking out the door? Let's hold a mirror to ourselves. Customers have our number and they've had it. It is just plain too much work to reap the benefits of a loyalty program. Customers are exhausted by the plethora of offerings paired with the massive requirements for their redemption. Their eyes roll into the back of their head before it's all deciphered
and program materials are tossed aside to be read another day, which never comes. Instead, think Pearl Theory. Pick out one great pearl of an offer, something really special you can do for a customer you treasure, and then let them know what it is. One financial services company sent each of their best customers a personalized financial planner to their home and a bottle of champagne. Customers remembered that gesture and talked about it and came back for more from that company.
This has been your weekly installment of The Customer Experience with Gene Bliss. Directing transformational customer insights for major U.S. market leaders, Gene is corporate America's change agent for a new inspirational understanding of today's consumer. To learn more about Gene's books and speaking engagements, or simply how to drive customer profitability for your company, log on to CustomerBliss.com.
This is Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth on The Advertising Show. And thanks again to Michael Port. The Contrarian Effect is the name of his book that is out right now. It'd be a nice thing to put on somebody's bookshelf as well.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
You know, when you say BBDO, you automatically think Pepsi. They had that account for so many years, and it was just 1 week after Pepsi Cola shifted its domestic account to TBWA Shiat Day that Omnicom Group BBDO was able to snag a new beverage account in the name of Starbucks. So BBDO New York succeeds Wieden and Kennedy, which did not defend. The Seattle-based coffee chain spent nearly $60 million last year per Nielsen Monitor Plus. Starbucks and Wieden parted company, after 4 years in September when the client began soliciting new ideas for roster shops, and Wieden chose to opt out of the process. According to sources, Ray, the split over creative differences is amicable, with Dan Wieden and Starbucks chairman Howard Schultz remaining friends, which is how they got together originally, and that's kind of what old Michael was talking about, friendships and developing relationships and so forth.
Yeah,
and by the way, the shift comes in the wake of BBDO's promotion of Starbucks' high-profile Election Day campaign. You may recall, if you voted, you were given the opportunity to take your registration or your, what am I saying here?
Yeah, when you voted, you took the little sticker and you got a free cup of coffee,
right.
And then the FTC shut that down, but the wonderful damage was already done.
That's right.
Because the train left the station and
right.
Folks were going there. And so, because I saw the ads online for Starbucks as well.
You know, and I remember when I walked into my voting, not the booth, but the facility, mm-hmm. the lady said, oh, by the way, and she was, you know, just talking it up. And this right. was a word of mouth marketing effort that was happening there at the voting level, if you
right,
will.
Right.
So. Yeah, you're right. The damage was already done at that
point.
But
it didn't matter because it was a great promotion.
Yeah, it was.
And I like stuff like that, too.
That was BBDO's idea, and it came to Starbucks, and they got the account as a result of that.
That never happens.
Yeah.
Yes, it does.
Right.
Yeah, usually it does. That's pretty good. I like this. Stuart Elliott, our friend from the New York Times,
right.
Writes this. Hot food and air at bus stops. What a cool idea. Think about this. And just because you're a smaller advertiser, smaller business owner possibly, critics claim that advertising is just a lot of hot air for the next month. Actually, all through this month, at certain bus stops, they have a point. In the latest example of a trend that is becoming increasingly popular on Madison Avenue, heated air will descend from the roofs of 10 bus shelters in Chicago, courtesy of stovetop stuffing sold by Kraft.
Yeah.
Through the end of the month, Kraft arranging for the company that builds and maintains the bus shelters to heat them, trying to bring life, the life to warm feeling that consumers get when they eat stuffing, according to Kraft. And of course, there'll be an accompaniment with, you know, some type of a relevancy to the stovetop as well.
Yeah. Well, they should have our scent marketing guy on, and they have that smell of the.
Well, that'd be a good idea,
too. Stovetop going there, yeah.
Experiential marketing intended to entice consumers to experience products or brands tangibly rather than bombard them with pitches.
It's a good idea.
And you don't have to be Madison Avenue to get there, too, as well. Think about it. What's your product? What have you got for sale? And how could you do it better by doing something experientially? Mm-hmm. Everybody else is, oh, I don't have the money. No, you don't have the right ideas. That's a problem.
Yeah.
So thanks again to Michael Port. Go get the book, The Contrarian Effect. And join us next week for another show. And Tom's book is called what, Brad?
It's A Little Less Conversation, Connecting with Customers in a Noisy World.
Okay, gotcha. Advertising Show brought to you by Advertising Age Magazine. Visit online at adage.com. And by Captivate Network. You can visit them at Captivate.com. AgriTalk.com with Ray Shellens and Brad Forsyth. Make it a safe holiday weekend, okay? Be careful out there and come back and join us in 09, okay? The Advertising Show is a Big Radio Midgets production.